So good morning to everyone sitting around the transformation table this morning. It is such a pleasure and a privilege to have people from all over the country joining in. And of course, this morning we're going to be talking about an interesting subject, you know, standing firm. So we're going to get into it just now. Samuel, I wonder, can I ask you to open us this morning in prayer, please?
Okay, thank you. Kom ons maak so. Hemelse Vader, baie dankie. Vraag geleentheid soos hierdie om rondom u tafel te sit. Dankie Here dat ons harte vanmôre voorberei Here om u woord te ontvang, om van mekaar te leer, om mekaar se advies met mekaar te deel Here. Dankie Here. Ook vir die vrede wat alle verstande boven gaan, wat onze harte en sinne bewaar. Baie dankie Here, dat elke negatieve gedachte van morgen gevangen geneem word door die gesag wat die ons gegee het. En dankie Here dat ons aan die einde van hierdie diens, hierdie meeting, sal uitgaan Here, om voluit die dag in die gezicht sal staar, Here. Dankie, Here, vir al die wysheid wat sal uitkom. Dankie vir die leiding van die Heilige Gees. En dankie, Here, dat ons allemaal gezond is, Here. In Jesus' naam. Amen.
Amen.
So, Samuel, while you were praying, you say thank you that we could sit around this table. Can you imagine we all sitting around this big round table today and Jesus is sitting with us? And we have the discussion about taking the stand. How little will we feel to sit with Jesus that took the ultimate stand? You know, I think he'll just sit there on the side and with a smile on his face, thinking, yeah, let me hear you guys' story. You know, one of my favorite, my cousin has got a t-shirt that, and I think I've told you this before, he's got a t-shirt. I'll see if I can find the picture and I'll put it on the transformation table group. But the t-shirt is a, you know, all the Marvel superheroes, Spider-Man, you know, that iconic photo of the workers building one of the high-rise buildings in New York in the 1920s. They're all sitting there on this beam having their sandwiches, a black and white photo. I'm sure you all have seen it. Anyway, so this is a picture of the t-shirt and Spider-Man is hanging there upside down on his web, and Superman is standing there, you know, and the Hulk is sitting there on the beam, and all the big superheroes are sitting there, and Jesus is sitting with him, and he says, "Gentlemen, and that is the way I save the world." Yeah, you know, I would have made it, you know, taking the stand. Sorry, I just had to put that in. As Samuel was praying, this is the picture that I saw. He's all sitting around the table discussing this all in our wiseness and wisdom. And here's that one. Yes. So to kick off this morning, we obviously still busy with Ephesians 6. The Holy Spirit showed me verses 11 to 14. Frederick, I don't know if you've got it, but I'm stand by there. And I can read here first. I'll read out of my Bible. So I'm somewhere going to start at 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And we've already established that this is not something that you do in the morning. This is something that you do constantly, so that having done all to stand firm, you know, making sure that you've done your part. We were talking about, I think that was it last week or the week before. I read that poem of Keep on Peddling. You have to do your side before you can stand. And then you have to be patient. So, guys, I want to kick off this discussion. Love to hear some testimonies of a place, and don't be shy, a place where you stood, you took the stand, you know, and of course, what we're standing on. Peter Marais, maybe you can just give us, Peter quoted something for me at one day. He says, I stand on the rock. Peter, I can't say it, no. Yes, Freek, I see you've got your hand up. Let's kick it off.
Yes, thanks. I was reminded also here in the early mornings about a day that I had to stand, but that was as a policeman in, what was it, 1993. I remember I was on holiday in the South Coast, and on the 10th of April, 4 days after my birthday, something happened in the East End. Chris Hani was assassinated. In those days, we didn't have cell phones, but pages. And just after the news broke that he was killed, I got a page that I need to go back to Johannesburg for the week, the upcoming week, because already there was expected that there will be a lot of trouble regarding what happened. And I remember it was the Tuesday. I was still working at the old John Foster Square police station in Johannesburg. And standing in front of John Foster Square that time, in front of the building, you will think a lot of policemen works in this building. But when you stand outside John Foster on the corner there, because it's on the end of Commissioner Street, as you look up into Commissioner Street, it looked like a river of people coming, flowing down Commissioner Street as the people were marching, thousands of people marching towards the police station to give up a memorandum. And looking at these thousands of people and a handful of policemen, and you think to yourself, okay, run, I cannot do that. I cannot turn around and run away. I see it happen now over the last few years. But those days, you had respect. You made an oath that you will that you're there to protect and serve. And I remember it so clearly this morning, standing there and thinking, all right, if something happens, we are totally outnumbered. There's no way that we will get out of this alive. But there's that surety in you. I'm not going to turn around and run, because I'm not going to get killed from behind. That's not how I want to die. I'd rather die than standing, facing the fight and die, like if I can say in honor. But what I remember about that, Menzo, is I knew that somebody's got my back. If you look at the armor of God, there's a protection of the helmet, there's the breastplate, the truth, the belt. You've got your shield, you've got your sword, you've got your shoes on, but what's protecting your back? What's protecting your back to say, stand? You need to know that, yes, God is in me, God is beside me, but also God has got my back. I can stand and face this Goliath. I can stand and run to this Goliath. I can stand and face the things that comes, because I know, I remember that day so clearly, brothers and sisters, that it was like my buddy, my partner, the people around me, the policemen, men and women, even if we were not a lot, we've got each other's back. And knowing that God has got your back, God has got your back. And That's what it means for me. Those days, learning that in the police in a life-threatening situation. That's a couple of people. Now the creator of the universe, I trusted the people around me that they've got my back. The great I am has got your back today. He's the one. He is behind you. He's next to you. He's before you because he says in his word, he goes before you. He fights the battle for you. You just need to stand and see and saw. How can I say this now in English? Onskou. You need to see the victory of what the Lord is doing. Even in my own life now, I've got a huge, huge challenge. Well, for me, it looks like it. But I'm at a place now. Be still and know that I'm God and I'm fighting the battle for you. You just stand. Remember, I've got your back. You've got the truth behind you. You've got the truth around you. You know what's the truth. Just stand. And that is so amazing to see every day the Lord is busy and things that happens in darkness comes to light. If God fights your back, just stand and help me with the Engels, Peter. Aanskou die oorwinning.
That's a difficult one.
That's a difficult one. I get to fast a fraud. Observe victory.
Yeah, probably observe.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
So, yeah, Freek.
When you worry, you watch net.
Yeah. When you worry, you watch net. Yeah. But I think I made a couple of notes here. And one of the points that you know, if you didn't go through that hectic moment, you know, that are highly intense because it's intense. You know, we've had strikes and we had to deal with, and it's also thousands of people. It is, and it's very intimidating. But Peter uses this word of this little phrase often. It is not caught. This is something that has to be caught. It cannot be taught. You cannot read this in a book and say, okay, now I've got it. You know, you have to stand in that place one or twice or three times to get it, you know, because it's not something I'm sure they didn't teach you this lesson at police college, Freek. It is something that when you stood there in that moment that you realize, okay, this is what needs to happen here. If you flinch, you gone. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all about having that relationship with the people around you. You had that relationship because of that relationship. You knew this person will not leave me, will fight till the end to live me. And that's the thing with God. If you have that relationship with him and you know him, you can trust him. My wife always say, a lot of times you don't see the hand of God in your life and you think, I cannot trust the arm of the Lord, the hand of the Lord. But she says, you can always trust his heart. You don't see his hand working, but you can always trust the heart of God. And that's about having that relationship and knowing him, and you can trust him.
Yeah. Yeah. After you've all that you could do, then trust and be still.
Mm.
You know. But you must keep your side clear.
Mm.
Samuel, you had your hand up. Go for it.
Yeah. Thanks, man. So you may observe that these days I'm always before time of the Zoom. So because there are some necessary things that I'm doing, like transporting people to work and so on. So I want also to say now before what I wanted to say. No, I will concentrate on verse 6. And I'm reading from the Bible that Menzo gave me. The Bible, it was brand new, but now it's old. I put a sellotape all around so that it must not fall apart. So it's a very precious gift, and I'm always thankful. I remember also it is signed, met complimented and lifted, Menzo Strauss. So I always go through my Bible. Praise God, praise God. Okay, I will concentrate on verse 12. Let me just read quickly. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, it is a concordance. Now, the explanation given here is that so our woes are not human. However, Satan constantly uses human beings to carry out his dirty works, but against principalities. So these principalities it's rulers or beings of the highest rank and order in Satan's kingdom, against powers. It is the rank immediately below the principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, those who carry out the instructions of the powers, and lastly, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So this refers to the demon spirits that we have to do daily. So they are the foot soldiers. So when the devil was thrown out from the heaven, so he has set up his kingdom. So it's like a copy, but in the opposite. And I remember last week when I left during the Zoom meeting, and then as I'm not driving, then there was another driver. And I want to get upset or angry. And immediately I remember, you know, I am coming from the table. So I could control myself. So immediately I could identify who is behind and not the person. Yes. So therefore the importance of put on the full armor is also only through the word of God and the full knowledge of the word of God. Yes, so that the Holy Spirit must also take the lead to control us, our feelings, our mind, everything around us. Yeah, no, that's all that I wanted to add. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
So, just to be clear, that Bible that I passed on to Samuel was one that was given to me. You know, remember that that poem again of A Bicycle Ride with God. You will be getting gifts on your journey. Pass them on because you don't want to be weighed. And I'm not saying having too many Bibles will weigh you down. I'm just saying the timing was right. So I mean, remember that day in my office when how that happened. So I'm glad you're using it well.
Just quickly something. Now, after you dropped me at the airport, okay, for some reason, I was having the Bible. I didn't put it in the coffer. So as I was pulling the coffer, I decided, no, let me keep the Bible in the hand. And after I check in, I will be in the plane with the Bible. So as now in the air, but then some thoughts came, which was the voice of the enemy, that the plane will crash. Yeah. Then immediately I opened the Bible and I read a verse, and there was calm. I was relaxing. I remember Frederick was asking me when he was in the book, the table, where do you want to sit? On the side of the window. It will be my first time. I said, no. I want to sit here on inside. So I was half bound. But meantime, I didn't know how wonderful it is to sit next to the window. So when I looked through, it is where that voice came, that the plane will crash. And the word bring that calm in me. Yeah, thank you.
So, Rick, you're a very kind guy. You didn't book him a seat on the wing. Peter, you've got your hand up. Go ahead, Peter.
Awesome. No, I just want to say, do you know about the rock and roll Christian? Your name is on the roll, your feet is on the rock. So.
say that again, Peter. Just say that again, please.
Your name is on the roll and your feet is on the rock.
Yes,
you are a rock and roll Christian. So it's very important to keep your feet on the rock. But this stand is very interesting. There's four times in this small portion that Paul said you must stand. And to stand is not offensive. It is defensive. To stand, you hold your ground. And because he said, to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then he said, you must be able to stand your ground. And for me, what is very important about this armor of God, the reason why there's no any armor for your back, you must never turn your back on your enemy. That is very, very important. So I think that's the reason why there's nothing for your back. The Lord is protect you and so forth. But I think that is the important thing here, is to face, om die vijand in die gezicht te kijk, and hold your ground and don't turn your back on him, and your feet are on the rock, Jesus Christ. And you've got your armor, and you can, because you must stand against these schemes so that you will not fall or anything like that. Because, you know, Paul is speaking about hand-to-hand combat. And in hand-to-hand combat, if you turn your back on your enemy, you are finished. Or if you lie down, you are finished. So it is very, very important to stand and to stand upright and hold your ground against the schemes of the devil. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I am. You know, and also stand and show respect for God and the Word of God. You know, standing in respect. but yes, taking that stand. And it's interesting how many times there is stand in that short couple of verses. Anthony, did I see that your hand was up?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I had my hand up, and then I thought, let me leave it, because I'm always the guy that throws a spanner in the works.
Throw the spanner, Anthony, throw the spanner. It gets the conversation going. Throw the spanner.
if you come from a disposition of hurts and pain, no? So if you've been rejected as a boy, and your father your mother disappointed you as a child, and you were physically abused or emotionally abused, or you're deprived from parents, then your perception of safety is broken. And when you come to God, you are not just going to trust God. I'm sorry. You can come and try that. You can maybe walk out in faith and in your head. And in the Bible, God says that you can trust me. But it's a complete different thing when it comes to your heart. It's not the same thing, because you've already been rejected. So you're afraid of being rejected again. You're afraid of trusting, and you're afraid of submitting to the will of God and to the word of God. So you're already on a minus 30. So the first thing that the Lord needs to do is he needs to start building the security in you that you can trust him. You are not just going to walk out and step out and trust anybody if your perception of that person is that he's been hurting you and he's disappointed you and he's not been there when you needed him in the difficult times, especially when you've got childhood pain, when your trauma that's happened to you as a boy, as a young child, when you were vulnerable and you expected security and you expected protection and you did not receive that protection, not only from your parents. In my case, I grew up in a children's home. Since the age I met God the first time he introduced himself to me, I was 7 years old. And then I was sent off to a children's home. And then in the children's home, I had to go through a whole bunch of series of traumatic experiences with a whole bunch of other children. But my perception of God, I blame God for everything that happened in my life. Up until very recently, I still blame God for everything that happened in my life. And my perception of what God is in my head, I learned in the Bible that God is this faithful God and that he's compassionate and that he is a soft God. But in my heart, my perception of God is, hey, but you disappointed me when I was 13 and that guy was busy molesting me there. Well, where were you when this happened? So my perception of God in my heart and my perception of God in my head is completely two different things. And God needs, and he's a gentle God. So he's not going to force himself upon anybody. You know, you can only take the word, you can eat the word, you can eat the word. But while you are eating the word, the Lord needs to manifest that security in you. Because I'm telling you now, that if you didn't have your back when you were 7 years old, I promise you, you are not going to trust that he's going to have your back now when you say stand. You're not. I promise you, you're not going to trust him. I know because I'm going through that. I'm in that place now where I have to trust God. Now, God has been good to me in the 18 years that I've served him. Truly, he has. And there are a lot of good things that I can go say, Lord, you know what? You've established security. You've established that you are who you are. You are faithful. But there's also been a lot of things that I stepped out in faith as a little boy, trusting that he's a God and that he's my father. And then that thing didn't come true. And in my heart, I perceive he's a hard God. Hy is hierdie harde God, want dit ek kan nou op hom vertrou en ek het nou seer gekry. So in my hart, is my default om terug te hardloop na wat ek ervaar het toe ek 5 jaar oud was, toe ek 6 jaar oud was. En nou is my persepsie van God is nou beïnvloed. So, nou sê vir my, ek moet staan, want God het my gerig, maar in my hart voel ek dat God nie daar vir my was in die verlede nie. So, hoe kom ek hom nou vertrou, dat hy nou hier vir my gaan wees? En dis waar, ek kan jou guarantee, 80% van die mense vandag wat broken is, wat nie God vertrou nie. This is exactly where they are sitting because of the hurt in the past, because of what's happened to them in the past and their perception of what a father is, because my perception of what a dad is that this is a loving, and I look at, for instance, the bit that you've shared about your relationship with your children. Eh? I look at some of the things that Freek has said about his ministry and the things that he goes to do with his children. And then like I told you the other day, Menza, you said something about, and that's how that is. But that's not how I experienced God. That's not how I experienced my father. So I don't have that kind of trust. I don't have that basis, that security to work from. Now, you tell me to stand in the battle. And ek wil so graag vir jou sê, ek staan, I want to stand, but I really want to stand. But my experience is that last time I left, I stood, and my back was open, and someone came and stabbed me in my back, and where was my God when he had to protect me when that happened? So, this is the spanner that I want to throw into the words. Yeah, it's very easy to say stand. It's baie maklik om het te sê, and in our gedagtes, in our heads, we comprehend exactly what you say. But to get that into our heart, because even up until to this day, I'm 51 years old, and I still struggle with my perception of who God is. To me, because of my absence of my father and because of everything that's happened to me in my past, when I'm under pressure, I still perceive God as a hard God that wasn't there for me when I needed it. Now, why inherently inside of me will I trust this God if he's disappointed me in the past? And that's what I want to leave with the guys.
Anthony, I'm glad you threw that spanner in. Alida, you've got your hands up. I hope you've got an answer for Anthony.
Yes, yes. I'm also so glad for your spanners, Anthony. Because I was struggling this morning with the Lord. I was reading Psalm 125 and the last verse. I'm going to just read it here. Yeah, it says, but those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. And then I was reading out of Hebrews 12, the first 13 verses. And it was telling about we must stand and we must not be fearful of God's discipline in our lives. And then I was struggling with the Lord and with so many of us of faith that didn't stand their ground and they turned back and it's just a destructive way. And Anthony, when you were testifying now about that relationship with God and that you didn't grow up with it, now I understand so much more. Easy for God and stand. But it's not that easy for all. And now I know that my role is to intercede for those so that they can also have a revelation of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And we can really, really, really stand our ground. And also what our ground is, the revelation, that what our inheritance is in Christ, that we can really stand. We have ground to stand on. So thank you, Anthony. Yes.
Thank you, Alida. Wise words. Rick, go for it.
Yeah, I just want to add and say to Anthony, thanks for the spanner. You must just remember, my brother, that I believe all of us who came to the Lord had abuse in our life. We had bad things that happened in our past. But it's just like going back to when I was in the police, what happened that day. When I went to the police for training, to the college, believe me, if I stood there and thousands of people came intimidating down the road, I don't know if I would have had it in me to stand. I would have run because I would have seen how we're outnumbered. But the day when I stood there and the thousands came down that road, I knew I had training. I knew how to handle this if something happened. But again, that relationship. And that relationship was not in my head. It was in my heart. The trust was in my heart because of previous battles with the people around me. With the people that I know knew had my back, I had a relationship and I knew this is not the type of person that will leave me nor forsake me. Well, that happened also in my past where people said maybe in a fight, in a bar, in a nightclub, I will have your back. And then when things happened and it got heated, a lot of them ran away. And they said they were my friends. And also things that happened as a child where somebody that was supposed to have your back is the person that hurted you. But coming back to with God, it's all about... And you know, I always say, this is the city of confusion. This is where the attack is in your mind. And that's a daily battle. But we need to get that relationship in our hearts where we have peace, the inner person, where we know I've got a track record with God. And like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time because it's a relationship, not just from God's side. God knows who he is, and that's why somebody said to me one day, but why don't you want to understand God? Why don't you explain to us how will God, why was God not there? And I said, you know what, in my relationship with God, it's all about knowing that everything will work out for the good. My tears will become, this whole week, the scripture in Psalm 50, suffering and crying is for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's all about knowing, yes, why do I want to serve Him as my God if I can explain Him? If I can explain Him to everybody and say why this and why not? Yes, I believe there's nobody who cried more than God because of what happened to you as a child. But allow God in a relationship with God, and yeah, you're going to go through a lot of battles. You know, when I had cancer 2 years back, the battle was on. But I always knew I'm going to walk through this valley of death, but God is with me. And God is, there was a lot of days I couldn't see God. I didn't, you were sick and you were in pain and death is knocking. But I knew in my heart, because of the relationship with Him, that He's there. He's there. He carried me through, even the days when I thought He's not there. And for me, it's all about the relationship with God, building that relationship. And a relationship is not just from one side. It's from both sides. Otherwise, it's not a relationship. In my relationship with my wife, we're two imperfect people that must love each other perfectly. In our relationship, I can't give 50% and she gives 50% and now we've got 100%. No, no. It's 100-100. Otherwise, it doesn't work. It's a relationship that needs to give everything. And say, I think it was Billy Graham who walked into a forest with his Bible and said, Lord, I don't understand everything in this book. I cannot explain everything in this book. I've got questions about this book, the Bible. But I choose today to believe that everything in this book is the truth. And everything in this book, if I can build my life on this word, your word, I'll be okay. Even when the storms come, I can stand because I'm building my life on the rock. Psalm 40, He placed my foot on the rock. In the English, Afrikaans say, Hy het my gange vastgemaak. He fastened me on the rock, Christ Jesus. So, my brother, just work and trust God and work on the relationship with God and let this become this. Let it go into your inner man that you have that relationship. This is not an earthly father if you ask him a bread that will give you a snake. He is a good father and build that relationship. That's why when I met God, I needed a savior. And it took time for Christ Jesus to reveal the Father to me. Yes, by God's grace, I was also fortunate to have a father that believed in me and supported me. But bad things also happened. It was not a holiday, but when Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, revealed the Father to me, I know now, I've got that relationship. I was adopted. I was also an orphan, all of us. We were all orphans, but we were adopted into the family of God by the spirit of adoption that cries out, not in our heads, but in our hearts, Abba Father. So, yeah, my brother, that's my advice out of my own life, to stand and to see what God, how faithful God is, yeah, you go through battles. And it's a trust that you learn where you can say, no, this fight is not mine. I can be still and know that He is God. And He's for me, not against me.
Amen. Donkey Preka. I appreciate that. That is something that is busy developing. God is developing that in me. I'm struggling with intimacy. I think the reason why I'm struggling with it is because of the lack of intimacy that I've had with with my father in my life. I think that can be part of it. I just want to ask a question, and I don't know if someone can maybe help me understand this. This is very difficult for me to comprehend. I don't know why the Lord did it this way, and I'm trying to wrap my head around it. So yeah, you have a people that were enslaved for 400 years, and yeah, you have this God who sees that after 400 years, and he extends compassion, and he sends Moses to them, his servant, and Moses needs to go through his own kind of deep journey in order to be prepared so that God could use him to send him back to the very place where he came from so that he could save the people. So yeah, God is, and he saved these people. Miraculously, he brings him through the Red Sea, you know, and understandably they are afraid because they've never really experienced God in their lives for the last 400 years. How many generations is that? That's like 15 generations. There was an absence of God's presence in their life. So they don't trust that God there. So understandably, they worried about Pharaoh that's coming from behind. And God has this amazing cloud above them, protecting them. And the angel of God is there. And the Lord says, Moses, put your staff on the Red Sea. And the Red Sea parted. And this amazing miracle thing happened. And yeah, the Israelites walk through the desert or through the Red Sea, and they get to the other side, and they, as you know, said, they aanskou hoe die Here all hulle vyande doodgemaak het, die Farao en almal is, they all died there. But the Israelites came through. Okay, so now they're on the other side of this big ordeal that they've gone through. And as a person, I would expect that if I was God, and knowing what these people have gone through, I would want to lead these people to a place of comfort because of all the pain and trauma that they've experienced for generations, generations, generations. So I can't understand why God purposefully led them to a place where there was no food, no water, no comfort. Now, I understand that, you know, this is difficult. It's not about comfort. God is not about what he can do only. It's about who he is to us. I comprehend that. But I can't wrap myself around a good God taking me to a place where there's want and lack and I mean, if he had led them to the right place, they would not have moaned and complained and bitched because they would have been led to water. I mean, yeah, the expectancy is that this God is going to be leading them to the promised land. Now, yeah, he did. But they had to go through all these kinds of tests and trials. And I'm struggling to wrap myself around this good God that led them to a place of want and neglect and nothing, a dry brook with no water. And he actually purposefully waited for them to bitch and moan before he gave them water. Why didn't he just take them or lead them to a place where they could have refreshed themselves, gotten meat and everything, praised him because he had led them to this place. His promises are sure, but yet he didn't. He led them to a place where there wasn't any. And this was my perception from God. Well, Mexico. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If there's someone that can help me with that, I would appreciate that because I can't wrap myself around God being good and then leading them to a broken place. Well, that's not a good God. If it was me, if it was I, the father leading, I would not take my child who's been alienated and destroyed for all this time. I would not take that child and want to lead them to a place where they still don't want. I want to comfort them. Is that not what the pastor heart is? I don't know what is the heart of God.
I think, Anthony, it's all about the issue was not with God. The issue was with them. They were slaves in their minds. They had a slave mentality. They had a victim mentality because of what happened in Egypt. But they didn't see the miracles in Egypt. They didn't see the miracles going through the sea. But they had to go through the wilderness to get that mental, and a lot of them died in the wilderness because they were in captivity here the whole time. They were still in Exodus or in Egypt in their minds as slaves. That's why they always remember the pots of Egypt. They were here. They were in a prison. A prison of thinking and remembering, but in the world this happened, that happened in the past. This is what the issue is this thing again of getting the victory. That's why the word says you must get the mind of Christ. You need to renew your mind. And that's a daily thing, if I'm right. And other people, brothers and sisters, you can add on. But what I believe is a journey of a couple of days. How much was it? 7 days or what to the promised land? Took 40 years. Because in the 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, was a thing of welfare. And God wanted them to get off welfare and to know that you're going to walk into a land and it belongs to you because I have given it to you. It's a promised land. But to get to that place, to go through the Jordan, need a new generation that can walk through the... if you go to the book of Judges, where the book word says, after Joshua, they knew nothing about God. They were without a king. They didn't know what God did because they stopped telling their children about what God did for them and how God delivered them from Egypt. But that mental, that mind, victim mentality, slave mentality, that's why Moses, I believe, grew up in the palace. Otherwise, he would have sat with that same, yeah, he had his struggles. Yes, he stuttered. Yes, he was scared. But in his mind, he was a prince because he grew up in a palace. If he grew up amongst the slaves in Egypt, it would have taken a lot to get him. And still, sometimes you got to be left to become to come right. He had to be a shepherd again, looking after sheep for how many years? 40 years after he was a fugitive, to learn how to look after sheep. Because we as people are like sheep. We walk around without a shepherd when we are lost. So for me, it's all about the prison inside your mind. And I'm not saying you're in that prison, my brother, but I can tell you one thing. Being there, done that, but praise God, don't have that T-shirt any longer. That I had questions. Why me? Why cancer? Lord, I was busy serving you. I was on the mission field when I became sick. Yes, I had the questions, but I had to get to a place and say, why not me? Why not me? And tomorrow, this morning I can sit and I can say, my voice was gone. God gave it back. Not a doctor, he used doctors, he used medicine. But God gave me my voice back to tell you that he loves you, Anthony. And he's going to take your tears and bring joy to others because of what happened in your life. Umendito said the other day, the power in the testimonies. People that will tell another person, I've been there. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to feel abandoned. How many times in the beginning thinking, I remember one morning I only had almost a glass of water. That's all I had. There was no water in the house. It was all I had to wash myself and brush my teeth. And I was saying to God, can I just go back for this day to my old life, wheeling and dealing and stealing. And the Lord said to me, thank me for that glass of water. It could have been worse. And I learned that morning, your biggest weapon in spiritual warfare when you stand is thanksgiving. You thank God for what he has done for you so far. And the good work that he started, he will finish it up to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Can I interrupt you there? Anthony, can I interrupt you? And Freya, this is such a very important discussion that I don't want to squeeze it into the little bit of time we've got left. So can I put this out there? Let's have our next week's discussion. Is God a good God? And then we leave this subject now at that, because I think it is a subject that should be discussed all by itself. I think we're missing one thing here, and that is the teaching. You know, we are not living on earth for this day. You know, we have not been created for earth. We have been created for what comes after that. And I'm worried that we're missing that. So, thank you for taking the time explaining it to Anthony. But I want to ask you guys, please, if we can tackle this next week so that we give it the full attention, and we can keep on discussing this as long as needed, because it's a very, very important discussion. Because it's actually a different discussion also. Guys, if you don't mind. Anthony, is that okay with you?
Yeah, 100%. I just wanted to say that these questions that I ask and these panels that I do throw in is because I know there is a lot of people listening there that has not walked the path that we've walked. So I've had some more, and I know what it is to have God behind me. He's established some security in me, and you know, I'm still learning. It's just not an easy process. But yeah, you know, to stand when you don't trust the person behind you, you're not going to stand. And I think that's essentially what I'm getting down to. But thank you.
Good. And Anthony, don't apologize for putting the spanners in, because the spanner in the works is where the things happen. You know, so please don't put the spanners away, and please don't do what you did this morning. You almost put that spanner away. It would have been a sad thing. I just want to quickly give you this, Anthony. Normally what happens on a Thursday morning, I'm awake. I get woken up really early. And then, you know, I don't know how to explain it. And I'm trying to figure it out myself, as one of those things. I'm an engineer, so I think I try and figure things out. But I get woken up really early, and there's lots of ideas and thoughts that comes to my mind for our discussion on a Thursday morning. But this morning was different. I only got this, and I got it repeatedly, and I think it was for you, Anthony. When I came to sit down here, I made a note, and it said, "Stand and be patient." That's all I got from this morning. You could see I was a little bit out of my depths when I sat down here, because all I got was stand and be patient. And I think, Anthony, that one is for you. Stand. The important accent is stand. You know, don't lie down. Don't turn your back. Stand and be patient. Yeah. But you can take that as you want. Peter, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, thanks. I don't want to pick up on that conversation. We'll do that next week. But to come back to our theme for this morning, that stand, verse 10 says, having done all, stand. Now, what is all? In the Afrikaans, it says, you see, the whole purpose of the armor is to withstand the attacks, the continual attacks of the enemy. We're not talking about God, and we're not talking about people. We're talking about the enemy's attacks on you that we have to stand. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 41:10, where the Lord says, don't let these things overwhelm you. I will buttress you with my righteous right hand. And God's right hand is his hand of physical involvement in our world. And he will buttress us. So almost like he stands at our side, but he's got this hand in the small of our back. A buttress, if you're a builder, a buttress is a structure that you build to stop the wall falling down. So when the wind comes heavy, heavy from in front, we've got God's hand buttressing us, his righteous hand. Frank, if I can ask you, put up 2 Samuel 23. from verse 11, 2 Samuel 23. This is a perfect example of the type of stand that is meant in this scripture. It's one of David's mighty men, Shammah. Verse 11 and 12. Next to him was Shammah. The Philistines, the enemy, gathered where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the men fled. But he, Shammah, stalked Silalian. All his mates had left, and he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines, and the Lord worked a great victory. So the example here, the land in our context, is our heavenly places, the blessings that we've got from God, the revelation we've received, looking over our shoulder, the things he's brought us through. Here we are, still standing after all these years. And like I keep saying, the older I get, the less I understand, the less I know. You know, you have to read a hell of a lot to realize how little you know. I'll say that again. You have to read a hell of a lot to realize how little you know. And this thing is being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I can never understand him. I've come to settle that now. I'm not even going to try. Where was he when my dad died? And I prayed as a 12-year-old boy on my knees for how long? You know, it's a very complex. The two, like Anthony says, they are very integrated, this standing and where is God when I need him. But our land is the heavenly places and the fruits of that land, all the spiritual blessings in my life. Every good gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. Everything. COVID taught me, even my next breath is from God. Even Freek's next word that he speaks is from God. If he moves his hand even slightly off of me, I'm gone, like a mist in the Freistaat. And the Bible says, without even a sign that I was there, without even a legacy, gone. And standing firm in this context means you do not compromise any of your blessings from Christ. There is no compromise. The enemy has many tricks to try and get us to fight battles that are not ours to fight, like Anthony's battle. He can battle till he goes green. He will never understand God. You cannot place our mental, our human, finite mind and figure God out and put him in a box. And no, there's no formula. Like Fredrik said, we've all gone through stuff. Why did my buddy take 3 shots in the head and drop next to me? Why did 3 of my brothers die and I still alive? We can't understand these things. His ways are not our ways. But one day, eendag op 'n reendag, we will see and we will know. And then we will understand. But in the meantime, I serve. I serve. And so, like you said in the beginning, with your loins girded with truth, your loins speak of your walk, your ability to walk. You walk in the truth, in the light. Your thinking, your speaking, your doing is out of the word, the way God would do it. When your feelings are girded with the truth, it stops you from loving the worldly things. You see, it's all the holiness, it's been set aside. The breastplate of righteousness means you give everyone, and you touched on this, Menzo, you give everyone their due. In all things, you act with a clear conscience. And when you are living, walking in the light, as best you can, we all fall, we all fail. We stand up, we dust ourselves off, we ask forgiveness, we receive forgiveness, we forgive ourselves, we dust ourselves off, and we get back in the fight. And that's how it goes. And so, with a clear conscience before God and before your own heart, if you do not have a clear conscience, you will never stand this stand. Because these things that I've just said are included in that verse 12. Having done all. What is all? That's the challenge to you and to me. Have I done all? Can I stand? Is this my battle to fight? Is there a letter I need to write? Is there someone I need to ask forgiveness? Am I being too harsh on people? Okay. But it's a beaut of a subject. But the world has never understood God, and they never will. And the scientists, what a joke.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, guys.
It's about thank you, Peter. It's about the light. I'll get back to that Ephesians 5 verse 14. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you the light, and that light, and for me, I equate some of this light to that lamp that just for the next couple of steps. Don't try and figure out everything. You're going to hurt yourself. It is that couple of steps in front of you. Deal with that. I cannot deal with the darkness because I can't see it. I don't want to see it. I don't care about it. I walk in the light. As long as I walk in the light, I don't have to deal with the darkness because it runs away. So if somebody tells me to keep a secret, I say, don't tell it to me. If somebody says, but don't tell your wife, I say, whoa, don't go further. I have to tell you. If you tell me, I tell my wife. I don't keep secrets from my wife because that's a good way of getting yourself into trouble. Keep a secret from your wife. You see how quickly you're in deep, deep trouble. So somebody says to me, no, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell your wife. I say, whoa, stop. Don't tell me. If you don't, you want to keep it a secret, turn around, walk away. I don't want to deal with the darkness. I want to deal in the light.
It's a good job you shared that with me. I was going to share something with you tomorrow in the van. Maar nou gaan ek nie meer nie.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sorry, carry on, mentor.
No, I just wanted to tell you a thing that we do when we go hunting. Always there's the young guys that come with, the young boys that grow up and they come with, and we use it as a teaching thing. And I think God is a teacher, just by the way. And then what you do is the guys, I hunt with a 30-06, it's a fairly big rifle. And the guys always want to shoot the first shot with a big rifle. And all I do is I just put my hand against their shoulder. It doesn't do nothing, Peter. It does nothing. It's not going to help him. That thing is going to kick him like a mule, right? Yes. But you just put your hand behind the shoulder, right? And it gives him peace. And I think that's what God does for us. He says, come, I'll teach you. Let me put my hand on your small of your back. Let me put my hand on your shoulder. And you will. And then after that first shot, the fear is over. Right. Then the next shot is nothing. And the next one after that is nothing again, because it's actually not it's just intimidating. It's just scary. But it is not impossible. Yeah. But you just hold your hand gently on the shoulder and you give it a little bit of a push and they get over their fear. And I wonder how many times God does that for us. He says, I've got you. I just put my hand on you. You'll overcome this, and then you will know how to deal with it in the future. I quickly have to ask Samuel, because we're talking about the journey here. Atman, sorry. The journey. Atman, God showed you how to work in the garden, you know, so that you can work the hearts of the people. For me, I see that as one picture. You know, if you understand how to make a garden beautiful, you also know how to rehabilitate a heart, because you first have to take the weeds out. Then you've got to put in the right fertilizer or you know the right stuff, so that the beautiful flowers that you want to plant has to have food to grow. You know, that process, the process that God takes us through, Friak, that process that He takes us through, that when you get to the big battle, you feel, I've got this. Yeah. It's not you, but you've had the training. You had the background. You know, you have to be in the battle. First a small battle, then a bigger battle, then a bigger one. Yeah. You grow. Atman, go ahead, please.
Just as you mentioned it now, Menzo, while Anthony was speaking, I took out one of my papers here. I don't know if it is too big for you to just have a quick look at it. But this is my own life tree. But here you will see I brought also a compost heap. And that is where you see in life many things happen to us. And in my life also a lot of bad things happened. But now all those hurt, those wounds, those bitterness, those rejection, those failures, and those anger is on my compost heap. And now I am using those same things that hurted me to help others. That is making me the person that I am now. It is those things that was my weakness. Today it is my strength. And that is what we need to learn, people. And I would really love to have Anthony for a day or two. Anthony, don't you have time? And come to Cape Town, my brother, man, that we can help you really. But we trust the Lord. And I will contact you later in the day to have a chat, if it's okay. But the verse that Friak mentioned there, that we know, Romans 8, verse 28, that in all things God works for the good for those who love Him.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Atman. Thank you, Akbar, dear. I'm with you. It's a process, it's a journey. Some of us advance quicker, some of us bear fruit quicker, some of us take longer to bear fruit. I'm trying to get intimate with my Father, and to be intimate with my Father, I do have to have some kind of understanding who He is, and I've got to know Him now. I'm with you, Uncle Peter. I will never completely understand God, but I am in a process of searching, and it's not only me. I'm not only speaking on behalf of me. I know I've advanced a lot in my life. I understand a lot of I've had some battles. I've got some battles I can go back and say, there, the Lord's been with me. But I know there are a lot of people that only meet God now and don't understand why they go through the things that they go through. And they experience the things that they experience. And I only try to be that voice on their behalf. Yes, I've had a lot of, it's not easy. It's not easy. I'm in a battle every day. I believe we all are, you know. And it's not easy getting rid of the orphan heart. And part of this is the battle, though. We're in a war, and we're talking about the armor of God. And firstly, you have to have that security and trust, and that you know that God's got your back here, you know. And if you don't have that, then you won't move forward in the battle, and you'll actually always lose the battle. And that's my actually just where I'm coming from. But I appreciate that. And definitely, I said, we have come after, can I come dry, Mark? Can I come dry, Mark?
Beautiful. Isn't it awesome that we can visit each other? It's always good to just get a hug. You know, if you've not had a hug from Friek yet, get yourself one. It's a good hug. We had Benno, you had your hand up.
Yet, thank you, Menzo. I also want to make a contribution here. I don't have anything as dramatic as the other speakers like Freek did and so on, but something did happen to me just a few weeks ago, which I want to share with you. I had the happiness, I want to call it, of turning 80 on the 27th of October. And my three wonderful daughters arranged a venue and a gathering of my friends and brothers, which was very nice and a big surprise to me. However, I knew that I had to make a speech sometime or the other, and I prepared the speech. And even driving there, I had this feeling that this speech that I'm going to give is not good enough. It won't go down. And as the friends and brothers stood up and tell everybody what a good guy I am, like it happens at these things, you know, if it's your birthday, then you're the best guy that's ever lived. And that was nice to hear. But when I got up, I had a speech prepared, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost filled me with the cross. And I realized that whatever I was going to say is not good enough. And I threw away this piece of paper. And I want to say that I stood my ground. Coming back to the subject of tomorrow, of today. And my whole attitude changed. And I could praise the Lord and thank the Lord for having looked after me for 80 years. In these 80 years, I broke 4 bones and landed in hospital with rugby. And I landed in hospital with 2 fusions in my neck. And I had a open heart surgery open and so on and so forth. And all of these things flashed through my mind. And I realized that I have been chosen as a man of God. A man of God to be worth something for the rest of my friends and my family, my children, and my whole attitude changed. And what I said there that day made everybody come up with their own story, with their own tribulations of how they had to stand up for God. And how, you know, just before that, we had the discussion about armor and how just about everybody took to that subject without them knowing, without them having been in this discussion and testified how a piece of armor protected them and testified of how they saw the armor of God protecting me. And I came away from that venue realizing that I'm here not because of me, but because God still got a purpose for me. And I'm trying to live that purpose. And I must thank all of you that just about every Thursday, I get more spanners
more tools. Menza always talks about his toolbox. And I can tell you, Menzo, I scratch around in that toolbox every day to find something that I could apply for my family, for my friends. And thank you for that. So I don't have anything dramatic like a crowd of people storming me or having been in danger where I had to stand my ground. But I want to tell you that most people that I know that's filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with God stand their ground even in docile circumstances where there's no physical fear, but you have to stand even in a discussion around the braai, even in private conversation with a good friend of yours, that you have to stand your ground and testify and be of assistance to help that person. And maybe that's what Anthony needs. Have a discussion with those people that you trust in, people that's been through that, and find peace. Like Peter said, you will never understand, but to accept that. For me as an engineer, the same as with Menzo, I read the Bible every day, and every day I don't understand these things. And when I close the Bible, I say to myself, you know what? It's not necessary for you to understand it. That's not God's purpose. One day you will, and that's good enough. Thank you, Menzo.
Menzo, powerful words. I've got a comment on the toolbox, but Peter, you go first.
Now, God gave me this last night, and I didn't know where it fits in to today's program. But now, with Benno's awesome wisdom words, it's this. We often say, have you got my back? And last night, what the Lord gave me, have you got my back behind my back? When no one's looking, when I'm not there, have you still got my back? And the same applies to the Lord. Have I got his back? Even behind his back, because he's got mine. Thanks, Benno. I love what you said.
Thank you, Peter. Peter, go for it.
Yes. All I want to say, in connection with next week, go and read 2 Corinthians 11, and it's where Paul gave an opsomming van sy lewe, what he went through while he was preaching the gospel. I mean, Paul was one, for me, is the greatest guy that ever lived. A human guy, not Jesus. But if you see what he went through while preaching the gospel, I mean, it is incredible how many times he was in jail and he was hit and he was stoned and all that. I mean, it seems so unfair. But I think if you read that and you compare your own life with what he went through, I mean, I also know what it is to growing up without a father. My dad died when I was 9 years old. And I can tell you, God is a good God. But go and read 2 Corinthians 11. Thank you.
A little bit of homework for tomorrow, for next week. Ken, I saw your head. Did you have your hand up, or were you just clapping hands? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I had my hand up, Nathan. I hope you can hear me, okay? You know, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. You know, so important. Who are we standing with? We're standing with Jesus, buckled around our waist, with his breastplate and his righteousness. And in so many things in this life, we need to stand with the Lord. If you read John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I just want to say that this morning, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ coming into my life, filling himself with that grace and truth, I would not be able to stand for that. And it's just amazing that his belt wrapped around us, enveloping us, is something precious. And we need to just hold on to that. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ken. I think that's a nice tie-off for this morning. I just want to quickly tell this my thought on Mbeno with the toolbox. You know, when you and I have those guys in my factory, the young guys, you buy them a toolbox. You know, you get these beautiful toolboxes that's got all the tools packed out neatly and little rubber parts. Can you know what I'm talking about? And all your sockets are together and your tap pliers are together, and you buy one of those off the shelf. And the guys are very chuffed. Now he's got a toolbox. But it's not true. He only have the start of a toolbox. If you go and you look at the guy like Mbeno's toolbox, I've had some old tradesmen that worked for me, you know, and you go and look at those guys' toolbox. There's tools in there that you cannot buy. You cannot go to a tool shop and go and buy that tool. He made it himself because he needed a tool for a special job. That is a toolbox. Not this thing you buy and it's all got the standard toolbox. That is a toolbox. When there's tools in there that is, and you know, you guys know what exactly what I'm talking about. Peter, I think it was your dad's or your somebody's toolbox when you moved and we helped you move. There was a toolbox in there. And you gave me that toolbox. There was tools in there that were special tools, right? At the privileged age of 80, you have tools in your toolbox. And I'm not talking Eistergoeders anymore. I'm not talking about the things that is being put here in your mind and in your heart that is not bought off the shelf. Yeah. And that's where those awesome words of wisdom, AWW, we've got a new acronym. That's where those things become very valuable. But it's a journey. You don't get those for free. You can't buy them. You can't read up about them. You have to sit there and go through the punishment, through the hurt and the pain. And eventually those things become part of your toolbox. And that's why it's such a privilege to have this transformation table with guys that has got those special tools, you know, that you can share with us. So thank you for that. And that's how you build your toolbox, so that you can deal with issues when they are in front of you. You take it; it gets done through. You know, we can almost be as naughty, Peter, and take out that word that you brought for us, the refiner's fire. You know, how do you make a good tool? You forge it, you put it in the fire, and you hammer it until you make the right tool for the right job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, indeed. Peter, did you want to add something?
My father-in-law was trained as a VW mechanic in 19 Futsek, voor die Rinderpest. And he had all these massive years of experience working on all kinds of vehicles. And once he'd retired, he moved up here to Kempton Park. And one of the, I won't mention their name, but one of the big motor manufacturers, not the one with the stall, the other one, they had one of their cars that they couldn't fix. And not one of their experts could fix it. And this guy's reputation came to their ears, and they looked him up in Kempton, and they said, man, we've had our biggest experts in Germany, in Bavaria, in South Africa. We can't fix this car. Won't you please have a look? We'll leave it with you for 2 or 3 weeks and see what you can come up with. And so they dropped it off on Saturday afternoon at about 12 o'clock. And about 3:30, he found them and said, okay, you can come fetch your car. It's fixed. And it was one of those cases where in 19, about 40-something, he had something similar in King Williamstown there in the Eastern Cape. And obviously not so fancy, but he had made a spanner just for that case. And he still had that spanner. And so the spiritual lesson for us is guard your land. God trained you. He trained Anthony strategically, perfectly, giving him spanners for the job that Anthony's going to have to finish. And that's the same with all of us. My spanners are not your spanners. Some of them are, but a lot of them aren't. And I'll never forget that. Those people couldn't believe that he fixed their car. You see, there is no, what do they say? There's no substitute for experience. And I wanted to say this, Frederick, I believe the future in this country, testimonies are going to become more and more and more important, because everybody's a theologian, everybody knows everything, everybody can read all the cybernet, but nobody can challenge your testimony. Nobody can challenge your testimony, because you were there, you know what happened, and you're the witness. And you saw it. And so testimonies, I mean, you know, yeah. But thank you for that one or two special spanners. That toolbox came from my grandfather. My grandfather, Nochal. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know why I let it go like a dorm.
You can, you're welcome to have it back. You cannot have the testimony. If you didn't stand your ground, if you just fell, you know, if you just buckled, you won't have a testimony. You can only have your testimony if you stand your ground. If you say, you know, like David walked on the battlefield and said, not today. This ain't going to happen. I'm standing my ground. I'm going to get my bind whipped by this giant just now, but I'm standing my ground. That decision that he made, he said, there's actually no chance of me beating this guy by myself. He's got a testimony because he stood his ground. You have to stand your ground.
Just the last thing from me. Neville Chamberlain, during the Second World War, Neville Chamberlain was Prime Minister of Britain, and he had a meeting with Hitler to try and avoid war. And Hitler said he would sign this peace thing. But when Chamberlain got back, Hitler went back on his word, and he didn't follow through on the peace thing. And there was a movement that grew up in Britain calling for England to surrender even before the war, because surrender would be better than some embarrassing defeat down the line. But the new prime minister was this bulldog called Winston Churchill. And his opening response to that movement was that famous speech of his, "We will fight them on the beaches. We will fight them there and there and there. We will never surrender." And that's what I think Peter said it about, no armor on your back. There is no compromise. It's not debatable. They said there that Chamberlain, Churchill was not in denial, but he had a sense of victory. And we have victory. We are already on the winning side. Our God is the champion. This lie that we have to win all the battles, that's a lie. It's a trap. We don't have to win all these battles. Christ has already won them. There are things I've got to do in my own life. Yes, my battles, but not these battles. And so, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Peter, this is not part of the discussion of this morning. I think we're done with our meeting. But, you know, I watched the movie the other day, Reagan. And it's a story about Ronald Reagan, American president, and how he stood his ground negotiating, I think it was with Gorbachev, during the Cold War. And he stood his ground. Gorbachev said to him, "It's okay, we can take out all the nuclear weapons. You destroy yours, I'll destroy mine, but you have to stop your Star Wars program." You know, that program that they would defend their own skies. And Reagan just said no. And he said, "Well, then I'm walking out of the meeting." And he did. And Reagan said, "It's fine." But if you now look, what is it, 70, so 30, 40 years later, what happened the other night in Israel, those guys defended themselves because of that Iron Dome that they built. And I remember the Israelites are, or the Jews are, the people from Israel, is connecting what is happening now directly to the Bible. And Anthony, if you go and look at what's happening now and what happened in the desert, right, that cloud that was covering the Jews, I am connecting that in my own mind to this Iron Dome that they built. You know, I mean, how is it possible that 200 ballistic missiles get fired at your cities and not one does any damage? That don't see the moment, see the bigger picture, and then try and unsee it. Because if you try and figure out the whole story of the bigger picture, you're going to just buckle your brain. So yes, there's more to everything than we think.
And I read something.
Yes, Peter.
2 Corinthians 12:4. He said, "Therefore, so that I would not become arrogant, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to trouble me, so that I would not become arrogant. I asked the Lord 3 times about this, that it would depart from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' So then I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me. Therefore, I'm content with weaknesses, with insults, with troubles, with persecutions and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." So to stand is not in your own power. You cannot stand in your own power. If you try to stand in your own power, you will fall. But if you stand and say, "God, I'm so weak, I don't have any strength, I just depend on your strength," then his strength is working through you, and then you can stand. If God leaves you for just 1 second, you will not be able to stand. It's only through his power that you can come and overcome all the difficulties in life. And if you have overcome the difficulties in life through his power, then he helps you to stand and see you through any circumstance in your life. So, but I sent 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 16 to 33. Go and read it. The testimony of Paul. And that's all that's all that will say.
Just a last word from me, if it's okay. Menzo, can you read for us Ephesians 6, verse 10? Slowly and carefully. Following on from Pete.
Ephesians 6, verse 10.
Yeah.
Slowly. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.
Okay, that's it. Finally, having said everything, the end of the story. On us, be strong in the Lord, having done all. On the Lord, the strength of his might. That's what Pete just said. We've got to stand in his power like Freek did. Freek didn't stand in his own power. He stood in the power, in the might of the Lord, and the Lord is mightyful.
Absolutely. I'm sure, Freek, I don't know if you remember this, when in the middle of your battle with cancer, you showed up to the transformation table with your little bucket. And every once in a while, we saw this head just dipping away. But you showed up. You stood your ground. You know, you didn't say, guys, I'm out of here. Sorry. I'll see you in a couple of months' time if I make it.
Yeah.
You stayed in the middle of this battle. Yeah. And, the results are clear.
Also important is to know, the Lord's got your back, but you need people also around you. You need people praying. You need that love, that support, that care. You need people. The word says where two are gathered or two agree upon something. That support around you is so important when you are in a battle. I know it's not easy to share everything with everybody because everybody doesn't keep it for themselves. But when you've got that somebody that you can share, and like you said, Menzo, mine is in my house. The first one I must talk to is my wife, after God. And so that's important.
Yeah. Surround yourself with battle-hardened warriors.
Warriors, yes.
Yeah. Gentlemen, ladies, is Sue still with us? Yes. Sue, you're so very quiet. Thank you for a great morning. So next week we're taking a heavy one on. This is a big discussion. Is God a good God? Let's go through 2 Corinthians 11, and that is going to be a heavyweight title fight. Let's see what the Holy Spirit lays in your heart for next week. It will be interesting discussion. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for a great morning.
Thank you.
Be blessed. See you next week.